I think it's a large risk if we can't provide housing for our people that our workforce in particular, and also what we've seen is a great influx of homeless, that the problem continues to get worse.
Our conversation today focuses on affordable housing. It's an issue that's discussed more and more in the Upper Cumberland as more and more growth takes place. Our guest, Sparta City Administrator Tanya Tindall, Sparta Mayor Jerry Lowry, Lori Elder Burnett is the mayor of Livingston, James Mills is Cookeville's city manager. James, how much does the issue of affordable housing, how much does it weigh on your mind?
Well, quite a bit. When we think about affordable housing, I think you first need to define what we're talking about, because it's a wide range of housing. Are you talking about the ability to own a home, to rent a home? Are you talking about housing the unhoused? So it's a wide, wide range of issues that deal with the overall topic of affordable housing. So there's many different aspects and trying to different things to address.
And there's a lot of it, Lori, that simply the government doesn't have a whole lot to do with. This is it's a marketplace driven thing.
That's correct. You know, we're dependent upon some of the people in our communities to develop some affordable housing for people, or if you're low on inventory, then those are the types of people that we have to depend on to come in. We just have to try to make it as easy as possible for those people to provide that for us.
Jerry, when we think of the term affordable housing and we think about it, that we really are a community. I mean, there are so many more people today who are living in Sparta and maybe working in Cookeville,
yes,
or living in Livingston and working in Cookeville. You can't look at this as pockets, can you?
No, you've got to look at we've got to look at the Upper Cumberland region in general, because this is a problem that addresses everyone. We just hear the story just a minute ago of the younger people. We talk about senior housing, but even the younger people are struggling to find a home that's affordable. The cost of housing versus the income levels is a problem. And Lori is correct that we at some point in time have to partner with, and the government's limited in what we can do, but we can make, we can look at zoning issues and regulations and things like that to try to make a public-private partnership with these developers to try to make it easier to create more housing for people and maybe make it, I don't know if we can ever make it affordable. The one thing the Fed's going to have to do is probably lower interest rates. There's a whole, this isn't just a one fix all thing. There's a broad range that everybody needs to come together, working together to make this happen, to make it affordable for everyone.
Tanya, do you have to keep a constant eye on regulations just to make sure that they're not adding more expense to the cost of a home?
Absolutely. We can bid out a project and go through all of the process that you have to, and at the end of it, there's always a regulation that caused more red tape, that caused more money. I don't know in all the years that I've been with the city of Sparta, which is right at 30 years, if we've had a handful of projects that has come in under what the bid price was just because of all the regulations that's required.
James, let's talk about Cookeville for just a moment. And in a lot of ways, is this an inventory issue? Because as the cost of land goes up, and those developers who say, I want to build a subdivision, for example, they want to get a return on their investment, it's hard to price a home at $200,000, let's say, or whatever we might call affordable housing in today's world.
It's probably next to impossible to price a new home at less than $200,000, just based on the cost of doing business, materials costs, land costs. We hear that over and over again about land costs. Now, you've covered Cookeville for a long time. We've tried for more than a decade to increase supply, and the way cities can do that is through increasing density through rezoning. And mm-hmm. I know you've covered many of the rezonings that we've had, and when we try to increase density, it's not well received by the public. Every time we try to do an RS5, which is a small lot, single family development, we have opposition. And that mm-hmm. makes it very, very difficult. So trying to balance the concerns of existing homeowners with trying to increase that supply And I think that's one of the major issues is the lack of supply that doesn't meet the demand. Another issue that we faced, and I know Sparta and Livingston have faced the same, is all this influx of people that have moved in here with disposable income. I think our price of home ownership and even rental is artificially inflated by the number of people that have moved in here with disposable income. I mean, I've heard many, many stories that someone sold their home in Texas or California for, you know, $500,000, $1 million, and come here and buy whatever they want, and they drive the price up. And I believe it's partially, artificially inflated. That we hope, as time goes on and we can increase supply, that the prices will, if not go down, will stabilize.
Are you seeing the same thing in Livingston? Just more and more people coming from the outside?
Definitely. So, you know, when I knocked on doors, been here a year, there were lots of people from other states in the U.S., even in Livingston. I was shocked. So I know that that's what's going on in Livingston as well.
We're talking about the issue of affordable housing. As James mentioned, it's a complex issue. We'll talk about some of the more aspects of it as it relates to rental properties as we continue. James Mills, Cookeville City Manager. Lori Burnett is the Mayor of Livingston. Tanya Tindall, Sparta's City Administrator. And Jerry Lowry, Sparta's Mayor, our guest. The conversation continues as we focus on affordable housing in the Upper Cumberland. As we look at ourselves as a region that wants to do something about this, James, the inventory is just not there in Cookeville. And then you stop and you think about it and you say, how much more land is there in Cookeville to develop 200, 300 home subdivisions that might help with some of that inventory?
There's not a lot. And we currently have annexed, brought into our corporate limits, most of the area that was within our urban growth boundary. There's a need to expand that if we want to be able to provide the housing needs that we all experience. Now, that's the state legislature that made it so difficult to annex. The city of Cookeville has the sewer system that's necessary to have higher density. We need to annex to be able to extend sewer so lands can be developed. But the other issue in that, the lands that are available here usually have some type of issue in terms of environmental concerns or steep slopes. They're very difficult to develop and expensive, and that drives drives the price up even more when a developer has to address all these issues. To find that land that can be developed, the city's going to have to be able to expand their boundaries, and that's not often well received.
Yeah, it's part of the reason you're seeing so much development in Baxter.
That's correct.
Right now, is that's where the land.
But they have sewer capacity issues that will limit that amount of development.
Jerry, you know well, you and Tanya know well about Sparta's sewer capacity limits.
Yes.
And the limits that are there, and that's having a real impact.
Well, if you don't have the infrastructure, you can't accommodate the growth. And James is correct also, as well as the land that's out there and is available. A lot of people, the gentrification of America is taking place inside the urban big cities. Let's develop apartment building and put a grocery store and everything right there where you don't even need a vehicle to go, like in Nashville and the Gulch and places like that. It works there, but it does not work in rural America. People don't want that urban sprawl. They don't want the city to come into their county and their country and their farmland. And so there's issues, and we got to go back to without the infrastructure, You can't even accommodate any of it. So you have to have the road structure. You have to have the electrical output. You have to have the I start naming all kind of problems. But anyway, you're right. We must need we've got to have the infrastructure under the ground before you can do anything above the ground.
And Tanya, the city of Sparta has invested millions in the last couple of years of trying to improve the sewer that's there, but also I guess with an eye toward the future.
Yeah, and we are currently under a sewer moratorium with TDEC, which they, to get us off of that moratorium, which we're supposed to be off of it, hopefully, in the next year or so, we have to do so much improvements in our sewer system to be able to get off that. So right now, we are limited to the amount of gallons a day that we are allowed per TDEC. So that is that also comes into consideration when a developer comes in. That's one of the very first things. They ask for water a lot of times, and, yeah, we got plenty of water. But then when it comes to the sewer, we're like, wait a minute, how many units are you going to develop here? We don't know that we can give you that.
Laura, you've been working on both water and sewer in Livingston.
Yes.
And trying to expand what's there.
Yes. We, and, you know, so far so good. Right now, you know, I don't think we've been limited on any of the people that have been wanting to come in and develop in the city of Livingston anyway. But we do have one housing project that's gone through the, like the first phase with our planning commission to try to get approval. And I think they had some storm water issues that they were going to have to address next. And I have had another developer recently come to us to, you know, ask for maybe some available properties that we know of that they might be able to look at developing. So
for all of you as a group, one of the things that you look at and you say, okay, well, where is the land? The land in all three is in the county.
Yes.
But that comes with its own set of issues, doesn't it?
Yes. You develop, you bring in another governing body, which is sometimes they work together and sometimes they don't. You look at a different group of constituents in that area, and the farmland people do not want these. There are some people that they want to buy up the land. The developers come in and they want to buy everything they can, and then they've even asked Tanya and I about, can we make rezoning issues where we can have some, inside the city, smaller houses, so we can, instead of fitting one or two homes on this property, can we fit six or ten? Well, the people are against that, and so is that something you want to create in your city? So then then you're in a whole nother animal of stuff. And yeah, there's the land inside the city is not much. We don't have much left.
Mm-mm. We sure don't.
And that goes back to your density discussion.
Yeah, and addressing the county issue, and especially for Putnam County, I don't want to speak for Overton or White, but in Putnam County, there is no zoning. And that's a big issue. And then the infrastructure's not there. You have substandard streets or roads. Again, no sewer, rural mm-hmm. fire protection. If you do high density in areas like that in the county, and we do see there's been a lot of development. Randy Porter can tell you a lot of development in Putnam County. The issue is long term. When their septic systems mm-hmm. fail, when the roads deteriorate, when we have fires and you can't keep up with fire protection, on and on. The problem is a lack. The county's rural areas aren't prepared for the type of development that we've had. And it's going to be, I worry, 10, 20 years from now for that existing housing stock. And you're going to see more and more pressure for developments in the county. Because, again, we don't have the land area within the city without annexing. So we still, I think it's slowed down some, but there's still a lot of people moving in here. And, you know, we need to be able to provide the housing for them. But my biggest concern is, and I've lived here for four decades, are the people that have grown up here in Cooper and Putnam County that can't afford a house. Mm-hmm. The people moving in here have that money to buy. But how are we providing housing for our people, the local people? Now, I know that sounds selfish, but that's one of my concerns is, you know, housing for my children and my grandchildren.
We're talking about affordable housing as we visit with James Mills, who's Cookeville's city manager, Lori Elder Burnett, mayor of Livingston, Tanya Tindall is Sparta's city administrator, Jerry Lowry is the mayor of Sparta. Lori Elder Burnett, as our conversation continues on affordable housing, is there much pressure on Livingston officials to annex more land and grow?
Well, at this time, that has not really been a discussion. Again, I've only been there a short period of time. There are some properties that aren't, you know, very far out of the city that, you know, when they do a property evaluation that they look at that might be something that might be looked at in the future. But at this point, that's not really been brought up.
Jerry, what are you seeing in Sparta? Are you having those asks?
Yes, same thing, but the annexation process is, you almost can't do it. You just can't, the state regulation, you just can't do it, and people don't want it. They don't want to. So if we were even looking at a piece of property, you go to that property owner and you go to the people around it. Oh, by the way, you're going to pay city taxes now as well. So then that creates another monster, and people just don't want it. And the state has made it really hard to do it. So, yes, the annexation is probably something that is just not available for most cities to grow anymore.
Cookeville is in the middle of that, trying to decide. You actually have to put it to a vote.
Yeah, that's correct. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have one coming up on the north side of town. It's about 230 property owners. We'll see. I would argue, and I have argued for my whole career, especially for the city of Cookeville, and again, that's all I'm speaking about here, is I think it's actually a savings to come into the city of Cookeville versus not be within the city limits in terms of all the different services that we provide that are covered under your property tax rate. I mean, you get weekly garbage pickup. If you pay for that outside in the county, you're paying $300 a month for someone to pick up your trash. That's most, if not all, of your city property tax. Our property tax is a third of the county's. You get a full-time fire department protecting you. You get lower insurance premiums. I think if people, and I've seen this because back mm-hmm. in the 2000s and 2010s, we annexed quite a bit of land. And I think most people will tell you that it's proven true that it's a reduction overall cost when you're annexed by the city of Cookeville.
Next week, are there tools that can be employed by the cities and towns of the Upper Cumberland? Are there things that can be done as a region to further expand the availability of affordable housing? Our panel discusses those topics when we're here 1 week from today.